Ukrainian hackers wipe Russian telco equipment, Turkey's e-government portal hacked, and Russia to limit foreign vulnerability scanners. This is Risky Business News, prepared by Catalin Kimpanu and read by me, Claire Aird. Today is the 12th of June, and this podcast episode is brought to you by Thinxt, the makers of the much-loved Thinxt Canary. In today's top story, a Ukrainian hacking group, calling itself the Cyber Anarchy Squad, has breached the network of Russian telco Infotel JSC and wiped its routers and networking devices. The incident took place on the 8th of June and brought the telco's network to a standstill for 32 hours. Infotel confirmed the attack via a short message on its website. Reports in both Russian and Ukrainian media say the attack had a huge impact on Russia's financial system. All major Russian banks and financial institutions report transactions to Russia's central bank via Infotel. Once Infotel's routers went down, banks, online stores, e-banking systems, credit organizations, and other financial institutions couldn't complete transactions. In other news, Russian internet watchdog Roskomnadzor plans to limit foreign-based vulnerability scanning services like Shodan from operating on its portion of the internet known as Runet. According to officials, more than 10 services are constantly scanning the Runet for vulnerable systems that are then exploited in cyber attacks. The Roskomnadzor also plans to create a domestic vulnerability scanning service to be used to identify vulnerable systems and then notify their owners. The US Department of Justice has charged two Russian nationals over the 2011 hack of the Mt. Gox cryptocurrency exchange. Officials say Alexei Bilyuchenko and Alexander Werner took control of a Mt. Gox server located in Japan in 2011 and proceeded to slowly siphon funds until the exchange collapsed in early 2014. The duo stole more than 647,000 Bitcoin from the exchange during the multi-year hack. The DOJ says Bilyuchenko used the stolen Bitcoin to help create the BTCe cryptocurrency exchange together with Alexander Vinyuk. The FBI shut down BTCe in 2017 after the platform was linked to multiple money laundering operations, including funds from ransomware attacks, drug cartels, and corrupt public officials. A threat actor is claiming to have hacked Turkey's e-government portal and stolen the personal information of 85 million Turkish citizens. The Turkish government has yet to confirm the hack, but the data is being offered for sale on a dedicated website. It allegedly includes sensitive details like full names, home addresses, ID numbers, phone numbers, real estate deeds, and information about family members. Local security experts believe the data was stolen after the threat actor breached the company managing the portal. If confirmed, this would be the largest hack in the country's history, even larger than the 2016 hack of the country's voter registration database. US Cyber Command has confirmed it conducted its first ever Hunt Ford mission in Latin America. Officials didn't say which country asked for help, nor when this happened. Several incidents have hit Central and South American governments in recent months. So far, Cyber Command has deployed 70 of these operations in 22 different nations. Spanish authorities have detained a second suspect in connection to the hack of the country's tax and judicial services. The suspect was identified as a 29-year-old man from the Spanish city of Cartagena. Authorities say the suspect is an expert in anonymization, operational security measures, and communications encryption. He also participated in closed cybercrime forums where he had a high reputation. Police investigators say the suspect aided a 19-year-old hacker, going by the name of Alcasec, in breaching the tax and judicial services last year. Data stolen from the two agencies was sold online through a service named the Eye of Horus. Alcasec was detained at the end of March. Chinese certificate reseller H1CA has taken its website offline after a security researcher discovered a hidden mechanism in its certificate management client. Discovered by Matt Holt, this mechanism allowed the company to execute code on its customers' servers. The commands were executed through a modified version of acme.sh, an open source project that lets companies automatically install and renew TLS certificates. The Acme SH team has released a security update to close off the mechanism used by H1CA's client. Nokia's threat intelligence team says traffic from DDoS attacks carried out using IoT botnets have increased fivefold over the past year. The number of IoT devices acting as DDoS bots has also risen fivefold, from around 200,000 a year ago to approximately 1 million devices today. These devices are generating more than 40% of all DDoS traffic. The next iteration of the CVSS vulnerability scoring system is expected to launch in the fourth quarter of this year. A preview of the upcoming CVSS V4 standard was presented at the FirstCon 23 security conference last week. Upcoming features include simplified threat metrics and an improved scoring impact system that will be compatible with OT, ICS, and IoT vulnerabilities. A new CVSS 4.0 calculator is also on the way. The National Cybersecurity Center of Excellence in the US National Institute of Standards and Technology is working on a project meant to standardize the way TLS 1.3 interception is done in enterprise equipment. TLS interception, or TLS visibility, has been a core component of the cybersecurity landscape for more than a decade and has allowed security teams to inspect encrypted traffic for possible threats. NIST standard SP 800-52 currently contains technical guidance on how to perform TLS 1.2 interception without breaking or weakening encryption. But since its release in 2018, no such standard has been available for the more powerful and complex TLS 1.3. And finally, academic research set to be presented at the upcoming USENIX Security Conference has found that cyber insurance companies and legal teams get in the way of effective incident response procedures. Now, the research has found that cyber insurance firms outsource investigations to a small number of IR firms, have driven down the fees for IR work, and often appoint lawyers to direct investigations instead of technically knowledgeable personnel. Putting lawyers in charge has additional negative effects. The researchers say the legal teams introduce contractual and communication steps that have slowed down incident response operations. Lawyers also typically advise IR teams not to write down any remediation steps or produce complete IR reports as a way to prevent leaving documents around that may show the victim's legal culpability. And that is all for this podcast edition. Today's show was brought to you by our sponsor, Thinxt, the makers of the much-loved Thinxt Canary. You can find them at canary.tools. Thanks for your company.